On the phone with me right now, I have WSQT, the squat. Hey, you there?
Yeah, I'm here.
How's it going out there?
Well, it's been hairy. We've been broadcasting from the belly of the beast, from the heart of occupied Washington since 2003. We've only had something like 4 or 5 visits from the FCC, a near gunfight with a cop that didn't like an outdoor show, and a landlord arson, but we're still on the air.
You had some visits from the FCC. What was the last one recently?
The last one would have been when they went around doing yet another set of power level measurements back in June, back in May, just before we lost that particular building. They couldn't get in because the place was armored up like a fortress with steel all the way around, and at one point someone tried the battering ram the door but couldn't get in when nobody was around, which was interesting. The setup's an automated remote. And that means that if they were to get in at any random time, what they'd find is unattended equipment.
And you guys are on FM or AM?
Currently, we've gone back to 1700 AM. We've been on both bands at different times. When we first went on the air, we were on 1680 AM, actually 1620 for the first couple months, but there was an interference problem. And then we went to 87.9 FM after we got the FCC visit that was associated with our counter-inaugural coverage that they didn't like very much. And we were on that for about a year and a half, finally ending up with some mobile shows on 87.9 FM. But when we found a new fixed base, we decided to go back to AM, both in order to protect the immediate area from any possible Channel 7 interference, and more importantly, because 87.9 had gotten so hot, we figured it was time to let the frequency cool down.
So I assume that the FM band is pretty full there in D.C., Washington, D.C.
That it is. Of all the slots on the FM band, the only one where you can get the full range of a transmitter is 87.9. All the others, there's a number of usable slots, but because you'll have, in some cases, a first adjacent neighbor who's not a local station and not licensed to serve D.C., but whose signal is nonetheless present, it will slap down a low-powered station just a mile or two away. And some receivers respond to a first adjacent signal by silencing, muting their audio when they're tuned to either station, which is even worse. That's severe interference.
So what kind of programming are you playing these days?
We're running the same stuff we've always been. We run coverage of protests, coverage of the various wars the United States is involved in, coverage of gentrification issues, everything from housing to the war to these boneheads that want to bring back the draft, whatever.
Yeah. Do you think George Bush can hear your station?
Well, he probably can. Not at night, he'd get interference from a station in Alabama. He could certainly hear it during the day. During the day, it should come in loud and clear with a decent receiver. At night, one of the problems with AM is you're vulnerable to shortwave-type interference at night. We get stomped on by a station in Alabama after sunset.
I've played some of your commentaries here on Free Radio Santa Cruz. Is there anything you want to shout out about? You know, it's an open channel here. You can say whatever you want to say and all the bad words you want.
Yeah, from the triple occupations of Iraq, Palestine, and Lebanon, to the attempted armed gentrification of New Orleans after Hurricane Katrina, to the wholesale displacement planned in occupied Washington, it's all the same war. Just as Mayor Williams is planning a mass gentrification project in eminent domain, all the African-American neighborhoods between Georgia Avenue and North Capitol Street, K Street and Florida Avenue, which is a very large area, just as they licked their chops at Hurricane Katrina blasted through occupied New Orleans, so do they act the same way in the Middle East and in Latin America. It is all the same fight. It is all the same war against all the same enemy.
Wow. Well, thanks for calling in. I appreciate you calling in and let us know what's going on. You're still on the air, even though I believe there was a fire that happened recently.
Yes, there was a landlord arson last November. Shortly after there had been some stuff going on in the building during the day, there was a set fire on the second floor, thankfully not in the transmitter room. I think they were afraid of the equipment and the danger high voltage sign referring to the 400 volts that the amplifier used. The fire didn't do much damage, but it knocked out all other uses of the building. Well, we replaced the damaged power cord that had passed through the area where they set the fire and went back on the air. The fire department tried to call it an electrical fire, but we were able to prove that the fire had been set with a flammable liquid, and also that the power strip with its circuit breaker could not have overheated the extension cord because its internal circuit breaker would trip first. A fire marshal agreed that the fire was set, but for political reasons was unable to change the written report. That is the second time there's been a politically motivated fire done by right-wing or pro-gentrification forces in D.C. that I have had to investigate myself, and they wouldn't call arson, and they wouldn't prosecute anybody, and they wouldn't investigate it, in quite a contrast to the 23 years that Free is doing for burning sport utilities.
So the fire marshal refused to change his report?
He was unable to. We had a pretty good guy out there. In fact, he was full-blooded Piscataway, and he said, yeah, that's a set fire. But he tried to get it into the report, but, you know, the big bosses wouldn't hear of it. It's like, wow. If you burn something that belongs to the progressive community, you will not be investigated, you will not be prosecuted. But if you so much as burn a sticker off the side of a sport utility, you get 20 years in jail for terrorism.
Yeah, I know. I heard about that, yeah.
The other such fire in D.C. was a protest tent in front of the White House. You might be familiar with a 25-year-long anti-nuclear vigil there.
Yeah.
2 years ago, while a protest was at the White House and everybody busy down by G Street, the members of the right-wing organization Free Republic, who were also suspected in an arson fire at a display of Islamic art in California, suddenly disappeared. Just after they disappeared, Misconceptions tent burst into flames. Lafayette Park has more cameras probably than anywhere else on Earth. Yet, first the police tried to claim the fire was started by cigarettes, and then when we found the remnants of matches wrapped in paper in the fire and you could prove you could smell a lighter fluid 20 feet away, then they said it wasn't arson because it wasn't a structure. Guess what? Those three sport utilities that Free burned weren't a structure either. So let's hear it for a little consistency.
Yeah.
They finally sent some cop out to do a nominal investigation, but of course nothing ever came of it. They wouldn't admit to having security cameras looking at Lafayette Park, although it's across from the White House. They didn't want to reveal the camera's capabilities, and they probably didn't want the arsonist caught because they probably know him.
Yeah.
So I got a little message here for all those joint anti-terrorist task forces. Why do you call it terrorism if somebody burns a sport utility, but not terrorism if somebody burns down an occupied building that's owned by a progressive group?
Yeah,
It's kind of like what you get with Israel and Palestine. Israel can shower Palestine or Lebanon with bombs, and it's called just war. But one little Katyusha rocket that lands in the desert and doesn't go near a human being is called terrorism.
What do you think about the ceasefire so far between Lebanon and Israel?
Only God will know if this ceasefire will hold.
Yeah, I agree.
And also, Israel lost the war in every possible way. Israel's military objectives have all not been achieved. No matter how much damage they did to Lebanese civilians, that's not who they were theoretically at war with. They wanted to recover their captured soldiers, who were captured in Lebanon, by the way, not Israel. They failed.
And they still
haven't. They wanted to stop the rocket launching. Only the ceasefire did that. They wanted to disarm Hezbollah. They failed. Every military objective they achieved, they set out for, they did not achieve. In fact, they were still fighting in the same villages on the last day of the war as the first.
I believe there were some protests going on in D.C. there.
Oh, yeah. We had 15,000 people marching in the streets. And this far right-wing fundamentalist Christian group came out screaming at Lebanese refugees that they were following a false religion and were all going to go to hell, talking about inferno and all that kind of stuff. Ferocious response to that. No violence, though. One of the Muslim kids got through all the lines, got into their position, and all he did was try to argue with them intellectually. And for that, the police response was to use a huge line of motorcycle cops and claim falsely that they were going to stop the main march so that people would worry about that and tighten up to block the motorcycle.
Wow.
It was quite a fight.
Wow. When was that?
That was this past Saturday. Mm-hmm. And we've had protests at the Israeli ambassador's house. We've had protests at John Negroponte's house over what he did in Central America and his court role as an intelligence czar. And we went there in May. It was like going to Minas Morgul, the home of the Nazgul.
Well, hey, I want to thank you for calling in or talking to a programmer from WSQT, the Squat.
Yep.
Broadcasting on AM. What's the
1700 AM from the heart of occupied Washington.
That's right. Well, thank you very much for calling in. I appreciate for the update.
You're welcome.
All right. Take care.
You too.
Free Radio Santa Cruz, 101 FM, freakradio.org, Operation Ear Infection.
Why?